This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 6, 2019, The Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those words from the prophet Isaiah, they speak to what was going to come. They speak about what did come in the person of Jesus Christ. And they speak about today. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be upon thee. Even in the messianic prophecies of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is this understanding, this foundation laid, that it's not a matter of everything's dark and then the Messiah will come and everything will be light. That's not the prophecy. The prophecy is, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon thee and his glory shall be upon thee. We are different. You are not the same as they are out there. God, by his grace, has opened our eyes to the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and light shows things. Light shows imperfections. You would never do something detailed, a surgery, for instance. You're going to surgery, do you think that the doctor is going to stand there with a pen light or a flashlight in his hand and do the operation? No. Some of us who spent more than our share of time in the operating room know that huge light that they have in there. What? Why do they have the huge light? Because it shows detail. It shows imperfection. It shows what we need to see. It brings as much clarity as humanly possible to think. That's what light does. Day is the epiphany, the manifestation, the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We just got through Christmas. You read the words of this prophecy. It's not a matter of Jesus coming in and throwing a switch and light comes everywhere. Jesus Christ penetrated the darkness with his marvelous light. The words of Scripture when Jesus was born actually take the words that the prophet speaks and associates them with that event. When the shepherds were out in the fields, they're not theologians, they're not church folk, so to speak. They're faithful people, but they've got a job to do. They're out with their sheep. Okay? What? The glory of the Lord shines upon them. And they were sore afraid. Even a faithful person, when confronted with the righteousness and light of God, is afraid. The Magi, what do they follow? A star that's bright. When do they look brightest? Go out there right now and pick out a couple stars for me. What does it have to be to see the stars? Dark. Simeon the priest, when the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph bring the child Jesus into the temple on the eighth day to have him circumcised, Simeon the priest takes him in his arms, and he'd been told by the Holy Spirit, you will not die until you see the Savior. And he holds his child in his arms, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Because why? Because I have seen the light to lighten the Gentiles. Jesus Christ is like, well, that's just subjective interpretation of events and words from others. Well, let's just listen to the explicit words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Those who follow me, have the light of life. He doesn't say, I am the light of the world, period, and leave it at that. He indicates something very specific. I am the light of the world. He who follows me has the light of life. Not everyone. When he transfigured before Saints Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, what is one of the things? I mean, they got a glimpse, a scratch of the surface as to God's glory, and they fell on their faces as if they were dead. Because why? Because his face shone like the sun. I would not suggest going out and looking in the sun to try to get a kind of feel for what they saw. It will damage your eyes. That's how bright Jesus Christ's light is. When Jesus is around, there is light. When he's not around, there is darkness. When he was hanging on the cross, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, noon till 3 in the afternoon, there was darkness over the whole earth. When our Lord Jesus Christ is present, there is light. When he is not there, there is darkness. He is the light of the world. Not Moses, not Mohammed, not Buddha, none of them, no philosophy. He is the light of the world. He and he exclusively is the light of the world. He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He gives us opportunity to become the children of God. Not everyone is a child of God. That is the message that we hear so frequently. Everybody's a child of God. That's not what the scriptures teach. He has come into the world to lighten the light of all men, that those who receive him will be given the power to become the sons of God. Not everyone. Those who receive him, his words, those who follow him, they have the light. Not everyone. Be thankful that you're here. Because you don't serve something, you serve someone who is the light of life. Not light of life in this world, where it's going to be hunky-dory, because we read about this world that, behold, darkness shall cover the earth. He's the light of eternal life. He and he alone. When he's not here, it's dark. This is an unfortunate situation in which we live in our day. I just have emphasized, he's the light, he's the light, he's the light. That's what he says. And then in another part of the gospel, he says, you are the light of the world. Well, that's contradictory. Which is it? Is it him or is it us? The answer to that question is yes. It is him. And we who are in union with him must, under his command, shine this light in the world. You are the light of the world. You cannot hide your light under a bushel. The church over the past 60 years has hidden her light under the bushel. To bring it up into our contemporary terms, the church has thrown the dimmer switch on the light of Jesus Christ. We see it in the presentation of theology, moral teaching of the church. There's probably no more profound place than in the liturgy of the church. She's turned down the dimmer switch. And that's not to be. We are not to hide our light under a bushel. We are to shine light in the darkness. That's what we do. This isn't a lesson in theology or morals or the liturgy per se. I don't have to get into great detail. Just generally speaking, the presentation of God. The psalmist actually asked, who is this Lord of glory? You know what the answer is? Who is this Lord of glory? He is a God mighty, a God strong in battle. Oh, no, no, you don't know. He's a merciful God. He doesn't do anything like, no, it's not that stuff about military. The Lord of hosts. We hear that all the time. We hear it sounds so churchy. I don't think we pay attention. He's the Lord of armies. He is the Lord of the church militant. Where we get the word military, militia. We are to advance the kingdom of God in this darkness. He has ascended into heaven. He pierced the darkness with his presence. And now we are here in his stead. And we are to pierce the darkness. We say in our creed, it starts out with these words, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Why doesn't it say, we believe in God because he's so merciful and loving? We get that. That's a given. He is God the Father Almighty. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not some abstract monotheistic God. He's a Trinity. And if you worship a God that's not, you worship another God. He is the Father. We believe in God, he is Almighty. Or we believe in God the Almighty. The Father. Why the Father? Because we get what fathers do, or we should get it. Because of what we see in this world. Fathers create us by their union with our mothers. And then they rule the household. Like I said, we ought to see that. Because that is a father's role. And we believe in God the Father Almighty. He is our creator and he should be our ruler. We don't seem to have too much problem with that creator part. But the ruler part, yes. Because a ruler dictates what you do in every aspect of your life. And we say we believe in that, but do we? Is it manifest? I believe in God the Father Almighty. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is immutable. He doesn't change. Like you said, the church has thrown the dimmer switch on that. You can, because that's indicative of a change in God whom you present to others, and you cannot. You must present the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His teachings do not change. They emanate from an unchangeable God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And you look up that passage, you look at a lot of commentaries now, they do everything that they can to explain why it doesn't mean what it says. He means what he says. No one comes to the Father but through him, Jesus Christ. That is obfuscated. It is clouded up by our own clerics. Oh, you know, these people might be okay and these people... No, they're not. No, they're not. They need Jesus Christ for their eternal life. When you present a bad theology, our knowledge of God, he's not serious about things. This is where we get into the moral things. The teachings of the Catholic Church before mid-1960s were crystal clear. All Catholics knew what the Church teaches, but some of them didn't like it, but they knew what the Catholic Church teaches. People who were not Catholic knew what the Catholic Church taught. Not anymore. We use euphemisms and we try to explain away things. Abortion. If you hear the word, you don't hear the word in a lot of places because it's controversial. No, it's not. There is nothing controversial about it at all. It is the premeditated killing of a baby. That's what abortion is. A lot of Catholics in our day don't get that. When we put up our monument out here to the unborn, you know, to try to give some remembrance to this travesty that has beset us, this demonic thing that is called abortion. A professing Catholic called the chancery, shows how much they knew about us, called the chancery downtown and complained that we put up a monument to the unborn. They were sort of vexed when they said, we can't do anything about it. That's truth. It's clarity. It's crystal clear. homosexuality. It's an intrinsic disorder. And, you know, the temptations, we're not talking about temptations. We're talking about a church who has embraced. What do we hear all the time? All are welcome. Everybody knows what that means. They're not talking about all. They're talking about them. That's why you got the symbology that's around. The hijacked symbols like the rainbow and all this kind of stuff. What is the crystal clear teaching of your church on that? It is an abomination against God, and such as practice it will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We'll have masses of inclusion, but God excludes them from heaven. That's duplicity. It's duplicity. It's a lie. You just got to call a spade every now and then. When the Pulse shooting happened, having all these prayer gatherings for everybody. Should we? Yes, have had prayer gatherings. But let us be consistent. We're having a prayer gathering because we don't judge anyone's actions. We're just showing sympathy and solidarity with the families. There were 50 people killed that night. 50 human beings lost their lives in that place. The bell rang 49 times. Why did it not ring 50 times? If we're not judging anyone's actions, we're just showing solidarity and sympathy with the families, 50 times that bell should have rang. But we judged one's sin and not the others. That's duplicity. It is a convoluted message. It shows no clarity. Fornication. Nobody says fornication's okay. Cohabitation. Living together as husband and wife without the bond of marriage. Whoa, don't go there, because Bob and Sue's daughter and Frank and Jane's son, and they're good members of this parish, guess what? Their kids are in mortal sin. Their souls are in danger. And if you cared one lick about them, you'd let them know it. But no, don't talk about it. The dimmer switch. Put the stuff under the bushel. That offends the darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Jesus Christ was hung on a cross. His apostles were all killed to a man. The martyrs that we worship and venerate because of what they stood for. We spit in their face when we say what they stood for. Don't say that to people. You should dialogue with them. St. Stephen, how arrogant of you, how pompous to stand in front of those Jews and tell them they need to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You didn't dialogue. You probably deserve what you got. Glad you didn't live today, because you wouldn't be in one of our seminaries or our monasteries, because you're too rigid. Obfuscation, the dimmer switch. I said before liturgically, if you're sitting in here, most of you anyway, I'm preaching to the choir on that one. The liturgy that has always been nothing but a representation of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in a bloodless way has become in the past 60 years a social engagement. I mean, they actually will hand out little pamphlets. What do you think we should do in Mass to bring more people? How about doing what you're supposed to do in worshiping Jesus Christ? And acting like he might really be present in the Blessed Sacrament. A Blessed Sacrament that in days past, this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only hands that can touch him are consecrated. They're consecrated and blessed by the Holy Spirit, set aside to do so. And now every Tom, Dick, and Harry in their sweatpants comes up and hands Jesus out like they're nothing but liturgical Pez dispensers. Body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ. It is not supposed to be like that. God Almighty is on our altars, and we should act like it. The liturgy that the vast majority of Catholics see, you just got to, like I said, you just got to call them like they are occasionally. The Mass that most people see every single time they go since the 1960s is grossly deficient in its presentation of the historic traditional Catholic faith. I did not say it was invalid. I don't even question the validity, because the church says it is, because it is doing what the church does in Mass. It is a valid sacrament, but it is grossly deficient in its presentation of our faith. That's why we're having the problems that we have today. People don't get it because the church has hid the light under a bushel. This is not just about Jesus Christ being the light. It is about us being the light. Well, that stuff is for theologians and bishops to hash out. No, it's not. It's for you. You are parts of the body of Christ. That scripture that we wrote, that messianic prophecy, His glory shall be seen upon you. It must be seen upon you. You are to reflect the glories of Christ in this world. He abased Himself and took on our lowly nature for the sole purpose of taking our lowly nature and bringing it up to be raised to supreme excellence. And if you have been raised to supreme excellence, part of which is doing what He did, is to proclaim the truth that He proclaimed. Go therefore, baptizing all nations, not people who want to be Christians, not nations that are monotheistic, all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to do all I have commanded you. This is the light. It penetrates darkness. The world is not light now. The prophet has told us, and it is still covered in darkness. Jesus Christ penetrated it so that we might. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.